thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. And today we're opening this show with a big smile because our topic today is humor and laughter. We want to laugh a lot and understand what is the place of humor in our life. And to better understand, how can we use humor and laughter in order to make our life better, to have better relations with everyone, at home, at work, wherever we are. Nitza, please, with a smile. You've been laughing all through your preparation. Yeah, we're laughing for 2 hours. I just heard about it. Don't worry, we're going to get you into the right mood. Okay, go ahead. So first of all, humor is a worldwide phenomenon. Regardless where you're from, what culture you come from, we appreciate humor. We appreciate people who have a sense of humor. We like being around these people. It's a very appreciated quality. When you go on a dating site, you see that everyone's looking for it. Someone with a sense of humor. It's something that causes us to come closer to a person, also helps us socially wise. It brings down walls, it opens doors. It creates some kind of an atmosphere, a frequency on which everything's possible. And we appreciate a sense of humor. So we wanted to talk about it today. We wanted to understand, first of all, humor. Why is it called a sense of humor? Is it a sense? You fell on me today in a state where I am completely unprepared for it. And really, this is an example of how... Okay, sense of humor. We'll relate to it seriously. It's a very serious matter, sense of humor. It is serious. Usually people who are professionals in this field, they aren't happy people. They aren't joyous people in general or easy to be with. They're very serious people, usually depressed. And as a result of an inner urge to get themselves out of this permanent depression, this gray kind of cloud, if not black, they develop humor. Specifically, this way. I knew quite a lot of people that did this professionally. They dealt with humor professionally, laughter, and awakening the audience, exciting the audience. They were very serious people. On the other hand, I saw very serious people that love humor, love laughter, looked for it everywhere. The more developed person is, of course, he appreciates laughter and likes it, but a special kind of laughter involving a bright idea, a mind game, and suddenly two completely different extremes are tied together, two completely opposite discernments that are not connected in our rationale, in our reason. And another interesting thing is that if we see a person who has no sense of humor at all, surely this is a person with a mental problem. People with mental problems don't understand humor. They don't. I stumbled upon it several times. I didn't understand the phenomenon. And afterwards, I found out that that's really how it is. It's a very explicit sign. With multiple personality disorder, these kinds of people don't understand it. Others understand laughter. You tell him something as a joke, he doesn't get it. It's completely out of his perception. Humor is understood and it passes from place to place, from society to society. A person who enters a society very quickly catches a new mood and becomes included in it. And what's interesting about it is that to some extent, also, animals have it, but not in terms of laughter and humor. For this, you have to be pretty much developed. I'm not sure that humor and laughter existed in ancient societies. And it seems to me that it started with the recent development 200 or 300 years ago. Up till then, there were only maybe, there was laughter, but not humor, comedies. Yeah, but these are kinds of comedies that it's not that it was built on extreme and bright ideas stemming from a strange kind of connection between thoughts and actions, which comes as an insight, as a bright idea from an as if unexpected situation. I don't see that. Even that, which was called comedy back then, it's not tragedy, it could be. Or there was always the court fool. Yeah, but it was fit for those times. Meaning, we can nonetheless say that buffoonery, that's one thing. And laughter is another thing. And humor, that I think is something that started with the recent human development, with the matter of the development of science and industry, meaning a matter of about 200 or 300 years. So it seems to me. Also, as much as I've read, I didn't especially study the matter, but I didn't really come upon. I came across many ancient tragedies, and also maybe laughter, even though it was more kind of sarcastic laughter, of bitterness, yeah. Or laughing at someone in a crude way, but not humor. It seems to me that for this you need human development as a result of a person making fun of himself, that he is capable of rising above and telling something about himself, make fun of himself, meaning a person who's making fun of this creature that he's looking at from the side. And for this, you need to be pretty developed. So you're actually saying that humor, it went through a certain development in accordance with our development as humans, and it's a kind of a special combination between mind and feelings, which makes humor into something more sophisticated when one makes fun of himself. It stems as a result of a person being able to identify in himself several forms, that one of these forms he got from nature, and this is how he was brought up, and this was at a certain age, and that's a certain age, and he also clothes in other people and other species, and he finds in all of these comparisons, he finds a kind of a pleasant friction, interesting one. Eventually, humor It's when a person, to some extent, makes fun of creation. On the one hand, he passes criticism. On the other hand, he does it out of love. The humor is always pleasant, soft. And he ascribes it to the weaknesses of nature, let's put it that way. And also in humor, there are many genres, yeah, kinds. But still, it's something which is pleasant and unoffensive. But you scrutinize the weaknesses of our nature. We're actually with it, by being aware of it, by admitting it. We also don't really ascribe it to the self. But that's how we are. And therefore, it's not hurting a person himself, his ego. But it's something common. Meaning, we're not laughing at a specific person, at something about him, but humor speaks about qualities, phenomenon. Yeah, but again, I'm returning to this, that also the clowns, the humorists, and from circus to the big stage, where they perform, all the professionals, they themselves are very deep people, not easy people, with a kind of an inner depression, I'd say. And laughter and this profession, it, in most cases, possibly, as it seems to me, comes to them because they have to lift themselves from the despair. Even those people, which I know by name, I think that it's really a phenomenon. Therefore, they also have the ability to every time turn everything from laughter to seriousness and the other way around. They need it for themselves all the time. You mentioned brilliance. What makes humor brilliant? First of all, the fact that people are capable of rising above habit. They're ready to tie opposite things together in different kinds of connections. And they suddenly, out of this connection, which as if doesn't happen in life, but they find that there is a connection, and from that they get a bright idea, an insight, which points at a person's weakness. Someone who is capable of laughing at himself, making fun of himself, he is capable of laughing. Because a person who is incapable of laughing at himself, he can only make sarcastic fun of others in its bad form, which isn't the kind of laughter that we're talking about here, which is related to humor. What makes you laugh? What's a good sense of humor for you? I like laughter. I like jokes. but smart jokes, not dirty or indelicate. I don't like laughter that results from a person not knowing how to speak correctly, having an accent, or there is some flaw about him that is not a result. I don't even know how to put it. Something that's not even up to him. Yeah. I don't like when you make fun. Suppose a Georgian speaks Russian. Laughter has to be subtle. It has to develop a person. Again, it has to tie strange things and a connection between them. It has to be very unpredicted. That laughter and humor actually have to bring fondness to what we relate to. I don't understand. It has to come from love. It has to show us some weaknesses in our nature, imperfection of our nature, but that this imperfection we're fond of it. We accept it. And we don't see it as a flaw, I suppose. But it is a flaw, but we live with it. We, to some extent, agree with it. We don't hate it or turn it into our enemy. That's humor. Here there has to be some kind of a limitation, a very subtle boundary in order for it not to harm or turn into hate. There's this joke about a Polish woman that wakes up in the morning and looks in the mirror. What does she say? Serves him right. You call this humor, meaning her ability to actually laugh at herself, at her qualities? I think so. This still isn't... it's not harmful. Of course, depending... if you'll say that about an Afro-American in the U.S., what's going to happen? Dangerous. Meaning it won't be accepted. It really depends on the local atmosphere. Sensitivity, yeah. And it's interesting because we see that each culture laughs at different things. There's the British humor, which is more conservative. It's a kind of humor that you want to cry. And the American humor, different styles. What style of humor do you like? I want to understand what makes you laugh and you think that it's brilliant. I don't know. Even what you said, it doesn't have to be, you know, too smart or something, but the twist. What is that twist? What does it do on the inside? That twist, it says that a person opens himself up, opens society a bit, the relations between people, brings them down from the serious level to a human level. It softens the atmosphere. It doesn't necessarily want to harm people, even though that by that wanting to point out a certain flaw, weakness of nature. What it does to me is that it suddenly turns my mind upside down, and that's really pleasant. That there are things in the world which were completely unconnected, and suddenly they're together. And this action, it does. I'm trying to feel what's happening inside. Something's funny, and it also opens up something, some new awareness towards something that you didn't make the connection before. And you said that in a joke or in humor, there's something unexpected. Meaning, we don't laugh twice from the same joke. We laugh every time there's a kind of innovation. So all the time there's this kind of an innovating process going on, and I like that you said that what we're making fun of is our relationships. Yeah, usually it's not with regards to a specific person per se, but with respect to his attitude towards others, his relations with others. Still, many times we enjoy laughing at certain states, and suppose with a group of friends. There's always the guy that you make fun of. Oh, we make fun of each other, and it's fine, and it's acceptable. But suddenly, what you talked about is making fun of the relationships, and that's something special. Also, people say that a sense of humor is an approach to life. It's a way to look at life and to see the world through it. I remember that there was this famous comedy group in Israel called Hagashash HaChiver. The thing is that the people that are in the industry, the humor business, they see how serious these things are. The depth there is to the things that they're doing, how professional these things have to be, how well examined all the points are. It's no less than classical acting in a theater and some Shakespeare drama and so on. I heard here and there how they talk between them and how each one of them speaks about their performances. It's very non-simple how precise they are, and they pay attention. This like this, that's like that. The people who understand humor and laughter deeply, for them, it becomes a form of relations with people and deep psychology. It's really, it's a world of connections, relations between people, and it's very deep, very deep. Again, I never studied it, but I saw that that's how it is. And this phenomena is very interesting worldwide. What is it about humor that helps us open our hearts, bring down the walls between us? Because it turns a person into a child. It takes off all of these pompous, serious clothings and as if strips them and leaves them naked before everyone. Meaning, who are you all in all? What kind of a being are you? And therefore, it really connects people. It makes them immediately equal. We also see it according to the people that, suppose, come to the theater or to see these performances, and also the atmosphere you have there. Humor and laughter really bring people closer. I don't think that there is something else which so quickly brings them closer. we have no more powerful means to bring down the boundaries and distances between us, to annul them. The boundaries, distances, barriers, than laughter. If all of us laughed enough together for a few moments from something mutual, that's it. After that, we have different relations between us. Because laughter, it brings everyone down to a certain mutual level, where all in all, we're really small. Let's say it brings a person down to the level of a child, this phenomenon. And that's what really makes it powerful. And were it possible to use it in a good, a nice way to disseminate good things, like, suppose, integral education, that would have been good. But it's not simple. You're talking about the wisdom of connection. How does humor fit in the wisdom of connection? Excellently. The only problem is that you really need to know how to do it. Meaning, to prepare yourself for it, and for it to look good and nice, to have a good taste. If the people who are engaged in disseminating the wisdom of Kabbalah will know how to convey it from the very start with some laughter to shake the audience up a bit, by that they can really achieve great benefit from it. Our time's almost up. What would you like to add? I understand that when people laugh together, it brings them closer to each other. What I don't understand exactly is why does it bring them closer? I'm telling you, because it brings a person down to almost the level of a child, of a baby. Since we see how little we are, weak, lowly, because each one of us has these and those weaknesses that we all make fun of, and everyone's laughing because it exists in every one of us. And by that, we admit to it. It's what makes all of us like kids, and when we're kids, it's easier for us to connect. Yeah, by that, we lose the importance and the pompousness. Yeah, and that helps us connect? Yes, of course. Then we're closer to each other. If we laughed at a mutual weakness of ours that exists in everyone and in all of us together, then, to some extent, we're already connected. That itself already connects us. So, in a broader perspective, humor has a role in your eyes in the process of connecting people and creating new relations between people? Of course. You bet. I think that's the best thing. You can start telling them about some phenomena in a person's stomach or something. That's also mutual, but it brings seriousness. It doesn't bring to connection between people. So you have a problem in your stomach, and so does he, and so does she. So what? By that, you don't break down the walls. But humor, that pulls you down, it doesn't leave you on the same level. It as if calibrates you. Yeah. That's what I'd say. Okay, our time's up, but there's still much to say about the topic of humor. In the meantime, thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Nitza. Thanks for being with us. And till next time, all the best.